was able to catch up with Connerly. What a guy. I mean, he did one interview after another today and then signed autographs for a long time. It is hot. It's gross. It's sweaty on the practice field. And about an hour and 10 minutes after practice, he still hadn't gotten back into the building yet. This was the rookie tackle after today's workout.
I mean, it's great. At the end of the day, it's just football at the end of the day. But right now, I mean, I'm living the dream. So, I mean, there's nothing much to it.
Expectations compared to reality so far in terms of speed of the game, how difficult a practice is, like all these things that you wouldn't have known but guessed about.
Yeah.
How has that played out?
I know it's hot. That's one thing that I was expecting. But in terms of things that kind of caught me off guard was how many team periods that we don't do. Because I feel like at work we constantly did team periods. I mean, same amount of indie that we had at Oregon, but a lot less practice, because here we practice for like hour and a half, hour 45, close to 2 hours. But Oregon, it was an hour and a half, 2 hours and a half, constantly every day. So it's a little different not having to go for so long, but just constantly just getting it in, just getting in, getting out, and we're good.
From that standpoint. And it changes a lot year by year because it's CBA and everything.
Right.
Were college practices, because they're longer, harder in that sense, or you wouldn't go that far?
I wouldn't go that far, but I feel like in college it's a lot more quantity over quality, in my opinion. But here it's quality over quantity all day. So like I would say, here you get five reps in a rack. You better make those five reps count, because you don't know if you're going to get another five, you know what I mean? So, but in college, I feel like it's kind of guaranteed in a sense, you know what I mean? But, yeah.
Seems like you've almost exclusively been on the right side, played a little bit on the left maybe, but also first, second team reps. How do you go about, like, not worrying about what team you're practicing with or what side you're on and just getting to work?
I mean, just continue to get better at wherever they put me. Even if I was guard, I could play center. I mean, no matter where I'm at, just making sure I'm getting better at that position and making sure I'm doing the best possible to put myself in a great position. So,
are you ready now already for like a preseason game just to go play another team? Or do you still feel like this work, just getting the pads on today, is still like you're not over it yet to the point where you need a game?
Yeah, I mean, you can't just go one day in pads and think you're ready, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's going to take a couple more to feel 100% confident. But at the same time, I mean, I'm ready to go whenever. It don't matter what it is, but yeah.
First round pick Josh Connerly on Grant and Danny. A couple of non-football things for our listeners.
Yeah.
How used to the environment, city now are you? Have you gotten to explore it all and go out and find some restaurants you like, some things you like to do?
I haven't really got to find things I like to do. I've got to get around Ashburn a little bit. Just a little bit. I haven't really found too much.
Are you a homebody generally, or do you like to go out and about?
Yeah, no, I'm usually a homebody. If I have people out here, then I'll get out and try and show them different things. But I haven't had nobody come out here and visit me yet, in terms of family. But yeah.
Are you watching like streaming? You like going to the movies? Like what kind of entertainment do you?
I mean,
take in.
Usually a little bit of both. I've been watching shows recently. I haven't really been into movies a whole lot, but
what are you watching right now?
The Boys. It's on Prime Video. It's a pretty good show. A lot of different turns. Pretty gory. It's interesting.
Are you still on season one?
I'm on season three.
You're binging.
I'm in it for sure. And I don't want to say we in deep, but yeah.
I love that. Last thing, for you. As camp progresses here, what's the number one thing you're working on, feel like is the next area for you to just continue to try to improve your game?
Man, just be my best self. That's it. I mean, there ain't really much else to it but that.
Appreciate you.
Josh Connerly, the rookie offensive tackle at training camp with the Commanders. We had him on the show right after he was drafted. Very personable,
yep.
Likable guy. I've been a little bit surprised so far. I don't want this to be in the lead to be that he's been bad or anything like that. But I was kind of hoping it would look so natural for him, and pretty clearly he would stand out over Andrew Wiley to the point where I would go, that's your starting right tackle. And we are not there yet, in my opinion. I would say semi-frequently in 11-on-11s, like he's learning a lot, and he is occasionally either getting beat or figuring something out. I'm sure that he needs to do different or better.
Uh-huh.
It just has not
gone. It feels mechanical at this stage, kind of like it's still like a learning.
Say this, like for a big athletic guy with good footwork, you would think, he just doesn't seem to be quite as quick as I thought he was going to be, but I want to let it play out. I want to see him in a preseason game. They just got the pads on today. You know, I haven't spent any time really watching one-on-one stuff because, frankly, you know, I think that's designed for the defensive line anyway. But this is just an 11-on-11. It's just how often do you win and stalemate someone versus lose? There have been a few plays where I noticed and I'm like, Javon Kinlaw or someone drove him into the backfield or blew up a play or did something that would have cost the team. Now, he's had some good reps too. Like, he had a great rep against Von Miller where he got him turned around at one point with his length. But I was hoping a week into camp that my takeaway would be,
you can't keep this guy off the field.
He's got to start.
Right.
And I don't feel like that. The example I'll give you is like Trey Amos. Every time I watch him, I go, damn, that guy looks good. Or I think that's your starting cornerback. I'd like to see him start opposite Marshawn Lattimore. And that's all. It's not even a negative as much as it's not a positive. Like, it's not the takeaway I wanted to have after several practices. But it's early. I think it's unrealistic to expect everyone just hits the ground sprinting. And maybe there's a coach that would tell me, you're crazy. You don't know what you're watching. Like, you don't know what that drill was about. I'm always open to that possibility, too.
Sure.
I just know that after being out there every day but one so far, this second right now, I would assume Andrew Wiley would start at right tackle over him. And maybe you work him in as part of a rotation early in the year, but I don't think he has supplanted him at this point.
Yeah. So this, to me, my hope was that it would be week one. That's it.
You just never want it to be obvious.
Yeah, and you never think about it again.
Yes.
Realistically, though, I don't think it's an emergency. I don't think it's a, oh my God, what the hell has happened here? If he takes a month longer and emerges as your starter in week six or something. You know what I mean? Like that, to me, like the point of him is a long-term bookend right tackle. You have the flexibility of a guy that's played multiple positions, was fine at right tackle in that spot. I'd love him to be a right guard, talking about Wiley filling in for Cosmi. But there's talk of Cosmi being back early in the year. So you've got options here where it's not a do or die if Connerly isn't ready for minute one, week one.
Bemis and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. They hating. Trying to catch me riding dirty. Yo, it's pretty wild, B. After today, we're halfway home on fan practices.
Yeah.
I have six of them. Three of them are in the jar.
It's fan practices are a little bit easier for you than it is for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, undoubtedly. I did, however, see you talk your way into pulling all the way up to park today.
I do it every day. Every day I've been here, you see my car in the same spot.
Dog, I just park out there. I just don't feel like it. I'm just like,
I've already told you. Like, I roll in, and because they always trying to send you to the back. I just say, no, I'm with the media. I'm going to go up front because they got spots up there. And you say, oh, okay. And I just ride on up, and I find a spot.
I've just been parking in the back and walking. Bro, my car is way back there.
Too far.
It's crazy, dude. We're a week into camp already.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so there's practice Thursday with
JB,
fans.
That's football in 2 days.
I know.
Let's be real.
You excited to watch the Hall of Fame game?
I want to hear the speeches and things of that nature.
When, that stuff's Friday night? The game's Thursday night?
I don't know the exact time, but I'll be trying to look for that.
I mean, we'll be in New England next week. Busy, busy time, man. You know what I was realizing, though, because the first couple months of this schedule is a ton of travel. I mean, think about three of the first four are on the road. A Thursday nighter, then Atlanta. I'm sorry, three of the first five, then the Chargers. But after Madrid, the farthest travel is Minnesota, and the last four games, the farthest we go is Philly.
Look at what you said. You said after Madrid.
Yeah.
Okay. Madrid is going to be enough for like 4 weeks.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Speaking of football, I got to talk to Commander safety Quan Martin. I think Quan could really be in a breakout year situation. He's really good. He's looked really good out here. Here we go, me and Quan. Always a pleasure to get to talk to Commander safety Quan Martin. Thank you for the time. plenty of football I want to ask you about, but you just told me you just got engaged.
Yeah.
How'd it go down?
We went out to Carousel.
Okay.
It's like a Caribbean island. We spent like 5 days out there, and I had been planning it for a while. Had the ring made. It was at the house for like 5 days. Took the trip. I coordinated with the salespeople at the resort that we stayed at, and you know, just did a little engagement on the beach.
So did you fly down with the ring?
Yeah.
Where do you put it?
It was in my backpack. And we was kind of sharing the backpack. So like anytime she needed it, I was like, oh, like let me see what you need. Like, but it was nice.
Any dicey moments where you just like hanging on to the backpack, not letting her have it?
Pretty much the whole way there.
I bet.
Yeah, the whole way there.
Did you do one knee?
Yeah. Awesome. You gotta get down on knee.
Got to. I did it.
Yeah.
When we got engaged, my wife loves Christmas, and we did it at the White House Christmas tree.
Okay.
This is a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
And I was shocked how crowded it was because I'm an idiot. And I like freaked out.
Yeah.
She's like, are you okay? I was like, I'm going to be fine.
Everybody probably watching.
Yes, yeah. Dude. It's a weird moment, man. But congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Considering what enormous step that is in your life, what is it like to then come back and just here comes training camp?
Man, it's awesome, man. Just to have that and do it and have that taken care of, man, and just come in here like worry-free. Just worry about football, honestly.
How much has your game progressed over the seasons now?
I think a whole lot, man. I think it kind of showed last year as the season went on. I just felt more comfortable in the defense, more comfortable in the system, and just trying to find my way within the defense and be able to make plays.
Seems like throughout camp here, you've been making plays almost every day. You had one today, and it seems like the DBs are flying around. What do you think about the DB room and just kind of the back end of this defense going into this year?
I think we got a really solid group, man, from outside to inside to our safeties, man. It's a really solid group. And everybody is a playmaker. Everybody gets their hand on the ball, just looking to make plays, man. And I think we all really complement each other.
What's it like for you when they tell you, oh, by the way, we just added Von Miller?
Man, it was
a big name.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the name itself just carries so much weight, man. And I think he will really help us on the D-line and just affecting the quarterback. And I think that's where a lot of them, like, overthrows, bad balls, tip balls, and everything comes into play. So I love it, man. It really just opens up a lot for me.
You and Chin really kind of took over and played darn near every snap down the stretch. Obviously, he's gone. Maybe Will Harris fills that role. There's other candidates, too. How hard is that to adapt to a new kind of, you know, the other safety to you?
It hasn't been hard at all, man. Will's been a great guy since he came in the building. Just open, speak, you know, whatever he knows, just give you knowledge, give you game. And he knows football, man. So just being able to bond and connect with him throughout OTAs and now through camp, really my first time getting on the field with him during camp. So just growing and learning and just understanding each other's game.
If it all breaks right and it's Trey, Mikey, Lattimore, what do you think of that kind of as your starting corners?
I mean, whoever we put out there, honestly, I think do us justice, man. And I think everybody, and Coach Witt talks about like just rolling with a deep crew, man. I think we got guys who can come in off the bench and make plays, man. So it's not even like who's out there. It's more like the defense, our standard. And guys just willing to go out there and do whatever it is to help the team.
I think the play in the Detroit game put you on like a national map. I think a lot more people started paying attention. Do you set personal goals going into a season?
Yeah, I do. Just being able to have something to look forward to. And even if it's like week by week, half the season to the second half, like whatever it may be, man, just having something to work towards, look forward to, and you know, just knowing why you're here, and just continuing to work, just having something that drives you.
And then getting that taste of playoff success, what does that do for this team's drive going this year?
Honestly, I think it just makes us a lot more hungrier, man. We got real close last year, and so I think the standard is super high. Like, that's the standard. And I think everybody's bought in, man, and everybody knows what to expect, what's the standard. So I think we just gonna keep working, man, and just keep growing and bonding more as a team. And, you know, I think it'll take us where we want to go.
Thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Quan Martin, Commander Safety. B, what do you think of Quan? What do you think he could move forward like this year?
I think the sky's the limit. I think I look at him last year. The guy played with an injured shoulder the whole year, and he improved all year. He was solid for him. And I think without that shoulder, he can be a little bit more aggressive. Last year, he had to watch that. You know, we didn't find out to the end of the season he had the shoulder injury.
Right. And we didn't find out till after the draft.
And he was playing that well, you know, and then you watch him. I like Quan a lot too, like Mikey, because, you know, a lot of these guys just want to improve physically. These guys, he's a mental guy out there too, and I think that makes the game a lot easier for you. When you don't have to think about it, you know it. You know what I mean? And I've been impressed by him a good bit. I've become cool with his dad, so I've started watching him more closely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that dude was making improvements, drastic improvements early on. But I think we were so caught up in watching Chin and people like that, we didn't notice how good he was playing. But if you look at him down the stretch, even in the playoffs, he started making plays.
Dude, in the playoffs, I mean, the pick six against Detroit, you heard us talk about it there, was I think Quan could really be in a great situation. And generally, you know, the guys that are going to get more guys from good teams get Pro Bowl consideration or get more national conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think the way this team is tracking, a guy like Quan, if he makes a couple plays in the regular season, could really change a bunch of stuff.
Totally.
And now this team is good and people are talking about them and they're going to be on primetime games all the time. You know what I mean? And it changes the scenario for these young guys as far as who is on the radar making moves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really pretty exciting. And he's just a guy I root for. Like, I've known him since a rookie. Remember Ron wouldn't play him at first? Like,
we found out he was doing a lot of things that wouldn't make no sense, but okay.
Right. That is definitely true. I think that DB group, to me, seems pretty damn legit. And I am I'm really excited to see if that's the case. And we'll find out. What do you think for Drake May in year two? Our focus is on Jaden, obviously. But, you know, May showed some good flashes.
He showed some good flashes, but I think the people around him has to be better. They have to have better offensive weapons around him for him to be able to grow. He did show he was mobile. I still believe Jaden was the better quarterback.
Sure.
Before the draft and even after the draft. But I still think that Drake can be a guy who can be very, very solid if they started putting the right pieces around him.
Yeah.
The thing that scares me with a guy like him. Now, Dan Quinn has been in this thing before. He's a little different. Also, Vrabel has been in it before, too. But still, Vrabel is more, I'm all defensive-minded. Does that defensive-minded coach truly helps out? And if Vrabel, since he played and won, does he get more credit and more respect from Kraft to where he can dictate what's happening more than the GM does? Because the GM that drafted that quarterback would want to make sure they keep having him out. But if the head coach wants to get the defense better, because that's his side of the ball, you know, you can have some issues there. But Dan Quinn, you notice, doesn't worry about that. He went and hired him, a former head coach, and say, run my offense.
Yeah. Who is running offense for the Patriots? Did they bring Josh McDaniels back?
I believe
they did. Do you think?
Will Josh McDaniels respect Vrabel like he did Belichick?
I imagine if they're bringing him back, I mean, think him and Vrabel must know each other.
Of course, you know, he was there forever.
Right. If he's bringing him back, I imagine he thinks he's the right guy. But McDaniels, in various spots, has looked like just such a jerk. But in New England, rather, it has seemed to go well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but Tom Brady's a big part of that thing going well, right?
Yeah.
Tom made a lot of people look good.
Right. I'm excited to see Quan this year. He looks good. He's running healthy. The shoulder stuff, I mean, all of it, man, mm-hmm. it looks a lot different. I was thinking close out today's show, because they've done three straight days of fans. Yep. Fans have been here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Tomorrow's an off day. The boys get to be in the air-conditioned studio. Thank God. I was thinking to open these phone lines up and let fans just tell us how it's been out here. Because, I mean, the amount of people that come up to us are like, love the show, listen every day. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're driving home right now, hit us up.
Little kid tell me that this morning. I say, dude, how old are you?
Shouldn't you be in school?
Shouldn't you? You ain't listening every day. And if you are, I got to talk to your parents then.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I'm curious how this has been for fans. Let us know how it's been for you, if you've been enjoying it. I think, personally, it's been without a hitch. Like,
I haven't, like Jeff said earlier, things seem to be running very smoothly. And it's all around this thing, man. And, you know, because, like, I've gotten a chance to know a lot of people that works behind the scenes and do different things.
Yeah.
From the security people all the way through. They don't seem to be having a lot of problems. And I remember the one young lady, and I'm not going to say her name. But anyway, she told me and Santana, we were leaving from Cleveland, and Cincinnati. And we were up very early, and we were about to get a car. She said, y'all can ride with me. I'm like, nah, we don't want to bother you. You know, she's like, no, we're a family. Okay, it ain't like it was before. Everybody is working for the same goal. You all are family, getting this car, let's go. And we rolled to the airport with her. And our conversation, I am watching everything she said come to fruition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you talk to people and deal with people, you know, it's a total different vibe, man, than what it was before. And for me, I think fans can feel that, even oozing out like I feel it. Because I'm telling you, I can tell you from years beyond, I will tell you, it was a bunch of BS.
Totally. I mean, remember the picture Nikki tweeted out a couple years ago of just one folding chair and the sidelines being empty at camp on a fan day? I think one thing they've done really smart, listen, being good on the field is what will drive the bus all the time.
That did it.
Being good on the field with a star quarterback is going to drive the bus that much further and faster.
Yeah.
I also think scarcity of the product is good. And I know fans want more fan days out here, but having six, which is, there are teams that only, the Eagles only do one. There's plenty of teams that only do two or three. Six is about middle of the road in the NFL. It creates real demand.
Yeah.
And I think that has value because the people that come out here are excited. And totally. They can't wait. And these kids are excited. The only thing I've noticed, and this is not the organization, I would actually say the security folks that are working out here have been trying like crazy to prevent this. But they have this area called the kid zone, right?
Keep the adults out of it.
And they have areas that are just for kids to get autographs. These adults got to chill out, man.
Yeah.
Can't be pushing up on little kids. Like,
They got me today. I said, listen, I'm going to start on this end, and I'm going to work all the way to the other end. And it was constantly adults coming on the backside. Can you sign it? I said, I'm going this way. And I heard one lady say, he told you. You're damn straight. I mean, I'm trying to make it easier so everybody can get the autograph. I'm trying to make it easier for me, too, so I can continue working down and I can roll on and get to the field because I don't want to keep turning around, going for it, going back, going for it. I want to sign because I believe in doing that, and then I'm going to get to the field so I can do my job. I got to know what the hell I'm talking about.
Right.
So,
dude, they got me. And I'm like, are you sure you want me to sign? I signed a lot for the kid zone today.
You're supposed to, JP.
I'm happy to. I just – Brian, you played football. You have a Super Bowl
ring. It don't
make
a difference. They see you on TV.
I'm always amazed by it.
You're not the big ear blogger to them. You are you are Mr. All Ears.
I'm always happy to do it. It's an honor. It just
what if the kids start calling you Mr. All Ears?
Oh boy, I get some all ears shouts from the crowd.
We have a job to do. All kids must know this is Mr. All Ears.
All right, we're taking your calls next. 800-636-1067. Have you been out to camp? Are you coming out to camp? What are the practices been like? You've been enjoying it? I think the only real complaint would be the heat, and they're doing everything they can. But let me tell you, you can't control the weather.
Junks are brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We're very happy to be joined right now in studio by Mark Rippon, Super Bowl 26 MVP.
It's the Ripper.
You can hang out with Mark Rippon and Gary Clark and Chip Lowmiller. Revisit Washington's championship glory with Super Bowl stars as they relive key plays, locker room memories, and the legacy of winning of being part of a winning team, all aboard the Stunning Waters of D.C. It's happening in D.C. August 2nd, October 25th, and December 20th of 2025 on City Cruises. Welcome, Ripper. Good to see you.
Guys, great That's, to be here again. This is you guys got new gigs. Well, you guys are moving up in the world.
Is it is this maybe the last you time? Ever been to this studio?
No, I was at the one that was out by Crofton, I think.
Or, no, or it was Atlanta. Carrollton.
Out that way.
We're radio vagabonds. We move around a lot. We go to different spots here and there. Right. You know?
It's good to see you, man.
Great to see you guys. Wonderful. I was out to practice this morning. I was out for a four-minute interview. I had to get up at 5 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Those CBS WSA folks. Yeah. If it wasn't for the great Glenn Brenner, I would never have done that, you know. But I came out there, did my little 4-minute gig, and then Chick Hernandez also, he wasn't there, but he asked through for his show, they asked a bunch of questions. So it worked out good. And so, I got to see all the people come in for the practice. They moved it up to 8 o'clock, a little bit cooler, you know. Right. Joe Gibbs did that too. He had a morning practice, and then he'd have one also at 8 o'clock at night, to kind of, you know, for double days, you know, back in Carlisle. So, but it's good. A lot of great fans coming out and a lot of good people, and pretty excited to watch this team.
Do you think it was better like going away, like to Carlisle, being like, I don't know how far away that is, 90 minutes, 2 hours away from the DC area, or is it better that the players can stay in their own places? And is it better to build bonds with your teammates being away, like at a small college?
There's a lot of distractions, I think, staying home, you know, and with, you know, just the constant, you know, being around fans. Now, you could really tell the fans in Carlisle because they came, you know, they had, it was a whole day trip, you know, they got up early in the morning, they came out there to watch the double days, and we had a pretty good fan base in, but now, what they got going on there is just like a city.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I was going to ask you, I don't know where you lived when you were playing for the Skins in the 80s and early 90s, but I live in Ashburn now, and I've been there for 20 plus years. Can you believe how different Ashburn looks? Because it was all farmland when you were there.
Dulles Airport. I mean, there was nothing.
I lived
in Reston.
Oh, okay, you're in Reston.
But, you know, when we had our old facility right there on 28, old Redskin Park.
Oh, you were going to that even?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, you know,
that's where they
you learned how to play football. They built this new facility for us the first couple of years, and we forgot how to play. You know, you got all these hot tubs now and cold plunges and massage therapists and chiropractors and, you know, red, green, and yellow for food, you know, which one you should eat, which one you shouldn't eat. You know, they got chefs. They got, I mean, it's a whole different a ballpark. You know, Mr. Cook had a deal. You guys, Bubba Tyre and Dan Riley, our strength coach, and Bubba Tyre, head trainer, was like going, how do we form a championship team when every single day we're at practice, we're eating double quarter pounders with cheese, French fries, and apple pies. Now, the big hogs loved it. They throw a couple of those down. They're good to go. But I wouldn't call that a championship diet. But we won championships.
You guys didn't have nutritionists. You didn't have guys blending
nothing.
Power smoothies on the way off the field.
Nope. None of that stuff. So that just goes to show you what, you know, focus and having a great program as Joe did, and having guys like, you know, Dan Riley and Bubba Tyre behind the scenes that were just so integral, such an integral part of what we did.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just completely changed out there. You mentioned the fans. The fans are crazy. They're so hyped. Now McLaurin is back, even though he's not practicing without a contract. I mean, we've been talking about that forever. I mean, for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Yeah, you can beat that dead horse to death.
I know. It's just, I mean, is it your gut that it's going to happen, though, that he'll get a deal done?
We all, you know, we all hope so. I mean, he's under contract, so, I mean, that part of it is real. And, you know, I'm sure that the organization would love to keep Terry around for, you know, another 5-6 years. And he's still in his prime. So. Yeah.
Well, you got, correct me if I'm wrong, you got a big deal after the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. My deal is reverse of Terry's. My deal was, they paid me a 3-year, $9 million contract. And the third year of the contract, they say, oh, by the way, we're going to tear this up and give you $750 and bring in Heath something from Tennessee.
Right.
You know, so that worked out really well. So this is different. He's under a contract, which is not, you know, I mean, relative to the top receivers.
Did you go through, was it a tough negotiation? I mean, you guys are coming off a Super Bowl, so were you just like thrilled? You guys were all on great terms.
Yeah, we were on great terms. You know, $3 million then was, you know, one top ten guys being paid in the league. So, yeah, we thought it was a fair deal. But, you know, you don't have a lot of negotiating power with Mr. Cook, and it was like, all right, here's what we're going to offer and take it or leave it. I remember a buddy of mine, Montreal, he went in there for the Montreal Canadiens, Pierre Larouche back in the day, and he had a 50 goal season. He went into the owner's office and he goes, this is what I like. Uh-huh. And his owner said, this is what you're going to get.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay, sir. And he left and walked out the room.
So you actually your representative negotiated with the owner. Like
not with the owner. No, okay. But Mr. Cook still is the final say. You know, okay. I mean, we had Charlie Casserly was the guy that was doing
let's go back to 91 just for people, because it's such an incredible season, like one that I think about all the time still. Did you see that coming? That was such a remarkable season. How many times did you get sacked that year?
I think it was seven.
Like seven times?
Yeah. It was
magical season.
It was surreal.
You see that season? Like, did you know, like, in training camp or, like, maybe some off-season additions or whatever that they did that, you know what, we have a chance to be really special? Because I remember it just kind of starting out great and then just kind of, like, snowballing, right? Yeah, it got better and better and better.
Not that we were sitting there, you know, reading the newspaper about Tony Kornheiser's bandwagon thing, but it was kind of like, this is kind of cool. This is something kind of special, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger each week. Obviously you go into camp and we go 0-3 in training camp, and Mr. Cook is livid, and of course Joe is like, you got to understand, Joe Gibbs was so vanilla when it came to preseason.
Literally,
if you scored a touchdown, it was a minor miracle,
Right.
He's just going to run 40-gut, 50-gut, throw a little hitch route, maybe he'll run a little scat dodge, and basically that's it.
Show nothing,
And then we're going to go to shifts and motions and zooms and pops and all the things that we did, and our guys were really, really, really smart. You're only as good as the guys up front. We had smart, smart guys that understood what we're doing. And receivers and our tight ends and all those guys were brilliant, and to put in a game plan every Wednesday. In fact, it was Joe was talking to his coaching staff. He said, let's challenge these guys and see if there's no way they're going to be able to pick this up on a Wednesday, go out at a walkthrough and get it. And they got it. We all got it. Mm. And it's a testimony to the guys we had there. So
what's pretty crazy about that season is that everybody obviously marveled at the offense, all the points that were scored, but in the first 5 weeks, you guys pitched three shutouts, 45-0 in the opener against Detroit, who you guys just used to abuse.
The score of those two games,
they killed them in the playoffs.
I know the score of those two games, the NFC Championship game, the first game of the year, was ironic. But
Then week three, 34-0 blasting of the Cardinals, and then week five, you shut out the Eagles 23-0. So the offense is just humming, but that defense is a killer too.
Yeah, then we won a 10-7 game, I think, or against Houston or something. 16-13 game against Houston. Mm-hmm. By no means. I mean, we made some big plays. Mm-hmm. That's offensively, that's what you had to do. But I mean, and we had 1,000-yard rusher and Ernest Biner, we just had a concept that was pretty cool. And you start bringing those safeties to the line of scrimmage, you got one on one with three of the greatest receivers in the game at that time. And arguably the greatest, and Art Monk, who's, by the way, November 2nd is going to be a special day for all of us. And only about 10 years short of when it should have been done, right?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
So anyways, so it was very eventful and very fulfilling, but a lot of people, and I never lose it in the shuffle, is how good our defense was. Mm-hmm.
Who were our defensive stars?
Well, Wilbur Marshall was special. Andre Collins, you had Kurt Govea in the middle. You had Tim Johnson. You had Charles Mann. You had Jason Buck, I just saw him on air, talking about the name change. And
oh, yeah, I
didn't know he was native. And a lot of people, they called me Chief. A lot of the guys that went on golf tour called me Chief because they think I'm Native American because of my high cheekbones, but I'm
but you're not.
I'm Polish and Czech. I guarantee if I was Native American, we would still be the Redskins. So, but I'm not going to do. I don't want. I probably shouldn't bring her name up. That politician that said she was something. Back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So anyway, so I wasn't going to do that. Stay away from that. So I was in true honesty. With Jason Buck and Tim Johnson and Charles Mann and
but Dexter was gone.
Dexter was gone. Yeah, yeah. And we had Brad Edwards and Martin Mayhew and the secondary.
These are all Darryl Green, iconic names.
Yeah,
all iconic names.
And Todd Bowles. And so we had, yeah, we had some players, you know. We had some absolute studs, you know.
So with what they did last year, kind of shocking everybody and really, you know, catching that heater. Now, some of it we have to acknowledge, you know, they played some...
Freddie Stokes, too. I don't want to forget Freddie. Yeah. Yep, go ahead.
But last year, you know, we got through, we really started cooking when we started... We did play some less than stellar quarterbacks down the stretch here where we mounted some wins. But impressive playoff wins. You know, how many games did we ultimately end up winning? 14?
14 playoff games. Yeah.
Is this team built, do they have enough, you think, that they could actually pull this off this year?
I think so. I mean, everything is predicated on health.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be healthy. You got to have your guys up front. We've improved our up front. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the one thing you want to do is you want to keep Jaden Daniels, number five, around for a long period of time. In order to do that, you better, you know, improve your front five. And so that part has been solidified. We've added another weapon in Debo Samuel. And so I think it's the sky's the limit for what they can do. And Cliff and Jaden have such a good mesh, you know, going right now and great understanding for what they want to get done. It's just going to boil down to, can we stay healthy? And can we, you know, continue to do what we're doing?
All right, two questions for you. First of all, how many different teams did you end up playing for when it was all said and done?
Let's see.
Eight? Four?
Five, I think. Five. Finished in Indianapolis. And Indianapolis. Cleveland, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Indianapolis, and, of course, 8 years in Washington.
Okay, so by far then, on Sundays, you're a Redskin, you're a Commander. Oh, whatever,
100%.
Right?
100%.
That's the only team you really care
only
about.
Team.
Do you watch the games on the West Coast? You watch all the games?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because, yeah, you know, they come in at like 10 o'clock, which is good. You know, you're kind of – I'm basically coming up on a Sunday, and if I'm not playing golf at September early morning, I'll get out 7 or 8 sometimes.
Right.
But I'll be coming home to a game, and then I do follow my nephew. He's still with the Vikings. He'll be his seventh year this year, and
it's amazing.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Talking to my brother, his dad was going, I just, you know, if he made it 3 years, it'd be great. He's in his seventh year.
That's
so
crazy.
That's good, and he's got a great future in coaching, and he's just a smart kid and plays.
So, what do you see then, having watched Jaden? What jumps out at you being an ex NFL, you know, Super Bowl MVP at quarterback? What jumps out at you with Jaden the most?
One, he's got more talent on one pinky than I did in my whole body. Right. Two, he's as good in the pocket as any of them. And that, he doesn't, you know, I should say he does get a lot of credit for it because that's where he wants to make amends is in the pocket, and that's what offensive linemen want too. They want to know that a guy is in the pocket, you know. They're not forming a pocket knowing a guy's going to scramble, but he's got great escapability, which is another factor that you can't really say Doug and I had, a very good game and when it came to escapability. So I just think he's, he's very cerebral, and he does it in a different way. He's got these new glasses.
Right, the VR stuff.
The VR stuff, you know, that we didn't have. And so he's just got some really, really great skill set, other tools to work with. So he's a good kid. You can't but not cheer for a guy like him because
very likable.
He says all the right things. Yeah. He's very great likable. In the locker room, you know, and all that. Toll. He's just someone that I just, like I say, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. All right, we'll have more with Mark Rypien next. You can join Mark, Gary Clark, and Chip Lowmiller on City Cruises. Go to citycruises.com. They'll be cruising on August 2nd.
/live, www.citycruises.com/live, and you can get some tickets and
there
come on out. I think the first one's almost sold out, but we got a couple others you mentioned coming up in October and December.
Yeah, the first one's August 2nd, October 25th, and December 20th of 2025. Go to citycruises.com/live for your tickets. More with Mark Rypien next.
Bam. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're live in Ashburn, Virginia. All of our training camp coverage brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Paul Henry is our guy. I was talking with some guys this morning. You know the dude Bulls Hardwood that makes all the wooden flags and the wooden W's and all that stuff? I was talking with him. He's just such a good dude. I might try to get this flag made, but I got to run it by Lauren first. It was I wanted to talk to you. So we're waiting for Tana. Whenever Tana shows up, that's when we're going to talk to him. Tana's walking in right now. Jeff, get up. All right. I will tell you the story about Friday later.
Information.
Don't they?
Yeah, give him that. I will turn this microphone on. Actually, it might be on. You are listening to B. Mitchell Finley. We have new Ring of Fame member Santana Moss joining us now. Give that a mic check, B. Let me see if I hear it.
Test, test.
Lanville, you hear that, Mike? Okay, great. Santana Moss joining us now. Tana, man, thank you for making time. How are you, buddy? How are you, dude?
Oh, I'm good, man. My bad. I think you're still talking.
Yeah, hold on. I think Toby messed something up. Give me 2 seconds. Santana Moss is here. As soon as we get him a microphone, we will be in business. Talk to me now, Tana.
Testing, testing. One, two, there we go.
Now we got him.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
Been a whirlwind 24 hours for you from yesterday morning to today, knowing you're going in the Ring of Fame?
I'm just soaking it up, man. Honestly, you know, it's good to be surprised, you know what I mean, because I had no clue of this. And like I said before, I didn't even expect, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, I feel like my play was worthy of it. But you never know, you know what I'm saying? I've seen plenty of guys that played well. That, you know, they recognize enough, but, you know, they didn't get up in the ring. So, to honestly finally get that kind of recognition that I have probably ever got nowhere. I mean, University of Miami, I got recognized being a Hall of Famer. And that felt good, but I didn't know how to feel. I was still playing at the time. This feels different, you know. This feels like, man, you're finally getting something that it goes deeper than just, you know what I mean, playing ball. Yeah. I look back at my career as a whole, how it started, and I'm like, to finally say that you can put that on there and say this is what he ended up doing after all of that, that's why it feels different. You know, it feels good, though.
You were shocked because you had your brothers, your boys, me. Nobody told you. You couldn't figure it out, but you kind of figured when it got close yesterday, something was going on.
Yeah, man, I just, you know me, I'm observing everything. I'm like, ESPN sitting right there watching us. This young lady back in the back with her camera on, who never's in our tent.
Yep.
And then you get to talking about me. I'm like, man, what's going on? And then when you said that forever, I was like, oh, don't tell me. And you said gonna be up in the ring. I said, dang. You see, I just kind of like put my head down.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know how to feel, but I know them tears was coming. You know what I'm saying? So nah, man, it just feels great. Like I say, man, I'm one of them cats, bro. I can be all right with it or without it, but to actually have it, I don't know how to feel. Man, I'm walking with a different step. Like, you know, I had a pep in my step this morning. I got to bed feeling that I hung out late, but I still had a pep in my step. You know,
you had the water bottle working.
Water bottle. I remember what he told me. He said anytime I had like to drink, man, I make sure before I go to sleep I start drinking water. I was drinking some more water last night. I said, I work. When I woke up good this morning, I said, that boy B-Mitch got something going on. He know what he's talking about, you know?
Our friend Santana Moss sitting in with us here in Ashburn at Commander's Training Camp. A very well-deserved honor for Santana Moss going in the Washington Ring of Fame. That'll happen week one this season. Who all reached out to you? Because I'm guessing some old teammates from Miami or old teammates from...
His phone, man, it's dead because it's just been... Bro, I can't even get to everybody. Like, it's been crazy. Lavernius Coles hit me up, said he going to try to be in the building.
That's cool.
I had a lot of my old teammates and coaches from the Jets, college, high school. Man, it's just people I don't even know got my number. Like, Tanner, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the building. I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, hey, I appreciate it. But that's why I say it's like I don't know how to feel because I never experienced this, you know? So, but like I was just telling those guys on Command Center, man, I'm going to enjoy it. I feel like whenever you get recognized this way, it's for a reason. So I'm not going to sit up there and act shy and act like, nah, it ain't that time for that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to be smiling. I'm going to be cheesing. And my family going to be up. And my mom and my dad, I think they deserve more of the credit than anything. So I'm going to make sure that we all enjoy it together.
Laura was talking about how your dad may be right now.
Yeah.
How you think he feeling?
Boy, stop. Look, I told folks, man, when I was playing ball, people used to be like, man, who that man is cussing his son out on the sideline? I ain't say nothing because that's me. He cussing me out. And I get to high school, and he called me a star one day, and I said, I got it. I must be did something well. And ever since then, I ain't looked back. But that you don't know how that feels to a kid to be called something that, you know, that's all you want. You want your parents to appreciate what you're doing and to give you that, I guess you could say that added, that extra motivation to want to be out there and be good and be great at it. My mom and dad worked so hard, man, that's all I know. And they didn't tell me. I watched them. Yep. So when people say Tanner worked so hard, I had good teachers. You know what I'm saying? I had great teachers. This is what I want to do. I didn't want to do what they did. I want to do this. So I'm going to do the same thing that they did in their profession and mine and make sure that I can have the same kind of career.
Well, you just got another person reached out to you. Lamont Jordan told me to tell you, well-deserved.
Yeah. My God.
You know, we've all spent some time together, some late nights, a couple trips on Air Ahmet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard some of your stories. And
we got to get that book, man. Let's go ahead and put it out there.
Let's do it.
I'm going to let you be that guy. You say you want to write it. Let's do it.
I absolutely do, because some of the stories you've told me are just incredible. And you mentioned your father and the impact he had, not just on you, but on lots of folks down in South Florida.
Yeah.
Nothing ever came easy for you.
No.
And I wonder if it did. Say Miami. Say the Hurricanes just gave you a football scholarship.
Yeah.
You didn't have to come in via track and then walk on and everything. Do you ever wonder if there was a different break if you'd be in the same spot?
You know what? That's a great question, but I'm going to tell you like this. Being that I had other scholarships for football, other places, I could have easily just went on saying, I want to experience it that way. What made me do it in Miami is because, one, I just didn't want to go away from home. I didn't want to go to the cold. So I honestly put myself in that pressure. You know, I didn't have to go out there and say, I'm going to be a walk-on. I did it because, you know how we say you can't get everything your way?
Mm-hmm.
I said to myself, that's how my life been. I get one thing, but I gotta go around, above, beyond to get it. Mm-hmm. My friend get it just off the rip. Damn, why you got it so easy? It's always been like that for me. So when that opportunity came, I had that talk with myself. I say, Tanner, you could go to Pittsburgh. You can go to Utah. Man, Miami, we're going to take over Western Michigan. You know, they highly recruited a lot of us. So, yeah, I might do that. Then I was like, you know what? If you go there and knowing you had this opportunity to stay home and play at the University of Miami, you'll be mad at yourself. You'll be kicking yourself in the behind. And so I said, you know what? I know it's odd. I know I might not look like the other guys who got scholarships to go play football, but what the heck, man? Let me take it this time and let me go this route. And to tell you the truth, getting there, it got worse. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't just like, okay, you're gonna be a walk-on. They turned that football scholarship over in week 4 or week 5, but I still couldn't be a football scholarship athlete. I still had to act as if I was running track. I was on that scholarship, and so I didn't have the training table that the other guys was eating steak. I had to go eat elsewhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't have the thing we had a cane car where you get like $130 or $140 a month. I didn't have that money, so I had to call home like, Mom, I need a couple dollars.
Right.
You know, and I remember a guy, Tony Gator, man. He was he was in the NFL. He had played receiver at the University of Miami prior before I got there. He was a free agent pickup by the New England Patriots, and he made the squad. And he would come home and work out, and he found a liking to me. He saw me, and he said, hey, man, you got something in you. And he started working out with me and started telling me about Terry Glenn. I told him I was a fan of Terry Glenn. So he went back and told Terry Glenn, hey, got a young guy down there, love you, named Santana Moss. So now those guys watching me. And he would bring back little nuggets to me, man, and say, hey, man, them guys say you can play on this level. You don't know what that did for me. Because now I'm talking to a guy that's over there, and I know how he got in the door. And then he told me, he said, low key, man, I'm going to tell you why I started hanging around you. He said, bro, I used to be upset when I saw you couldn't eat with the football players. And he said, I saw it like you took it on, like it didn't bother you, but it bothered me. Damn. And bro, I broke down in front of that dude. And he said, I know. And from there, man, it just was like, everything just took off from there, you know what I'm saying? And he saw me, he would call me and say, bro, you done changed that number. It's a different man out there on that field. And it was just, man, it was just, everything was history from there, man. So
that Fred told you, your Fred told 48 going 48 up
in the Raptors. that's my first number in college, man. That gave me 48. That's a true walk-on number. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Let's backpedal. How did your friend get that nickname, Scrap Iron?
Scrap Iron?
That is a hell of a nickname.
Hey, he was a fullback for us, uh-huh. Big old fullback. And our coach said, man, you know what? Screw that. We finna make him do more of the carrying. And he used to bulldoze over people, man. I'm talking about every highlight you saw him in high school, somebody pulling his shirt is getting torn off, and he running out of the tackle. Scrap Iron, man.
I mean, I love it.
Running guys over. He averaged like, man, I told you we had a wing T offense. We slid the wing guy out to the receiver. So my other homeboy, Pat, he was now he's the receiver out there with me. And our fullback, running back, and the quarterback had 1,200 yards rushing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now you see why we want to throw the ball.
Not the best way for a receiver to get recruited, though.
Kind of like Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech.
Right. They were an option team. Santana Moss joining us after the news of his name going up in the Washington Ring of Fame. Tana, I'm curious because I see you walk through the crowds and just how much love you get from this fan base all the time. But, like, I am just about the tail end age-wise of people that saw the Super Bowl era, right? That, like, experienced Gibbs when this thing was rocking. And I think, I mean, you've heard Lanfield said it 100 times. Mm-hmm. Remember Pete that we all used to work with? He's told me 100 times. For younger fans, if you're 35, if you're 30, if you're 25, you are so many people's favorite player during what were some tough times, but you always toughed it out, always performed well, and always did right by the fans. What does it mean for you to be so beloved by that younger generation of Burton Eagle
fans? I tell you, man, I'm not saying this just to say it. If I never got any other kind of recognition, they give me everything I need. Bro, like, I mean, I can't go nowhere without hearing about that Cowboy game and just all the other games and all the other memories. And so the fans make sure I know what time it is. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say, first and foremost, man, like, D.C., they don't owe me nothing. Because when I walk them streets, they show me every time. They give me the gratitude. I be having kids that I know you ain't watched me play no football. You said Santana Moss? My mama got your jersey. My mama said you did. And, like, I be sitting there dying laughing. Because I'm like, kid, I know you ain't watched me. You know, my youngest son, he's 16 this year. He caught the tail end of me. And he didn't even really know the magnitude of what I had did prior to that. You know, he be talking about, hey, Dad, you remember when Pierre gave me that football? He remember that. And I'm like, boy, he don't even. And so His older brother and sister be like, man, you missed some years, man. Right. You missed a lot of years. Yeah. He be like, man, shut up. Like, he don't care, but he see the highlights. You know, they get to go to YouTube and see all that stuff. So it's like now he's playing receiver down there at Sunset High down in Miami, and you know, this is going to be his real first year of football of high school football. You know, ninth grade he couldn't play because he had jumper's knee. Last year, he got diagnosed with childhood diabetes, so he couldn't play that year. So this is the year. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that it gets off to a good start, you know, for him, because I know he wants it real bad. But it's just great, man, to know that so many people that grew up with us, you know what I mean? Some of these guys be the same age as me, talking about, boy.
I used to watch you when I was young.
Like, how old are you? You know, I'm 46. I'm with you, man.
Right.
But it just feels good, man, just to know that I was one of those guys that they can say, that's who I have memories of. When I watched football, it was Santana Moss. It was a guy like Santana. It was number 89.
Man, 8 to 9.
That's it, man.
Tana, man. I remember, I mean, you know, because you and I are about the same age.
Yeah.
And I'd be coming to games. I was long before I had this job or any of this, and I'd just be, you know, the drunk guy in the upper decks. And I, when it got to be around Christmas time and you'd make a first down or whatever and you'd hit it, I'd always yell, Santana Claus!
Yes, Lord.
Do you have – is there like a favorite moment, favorite memory? Is there, I'm sure there's a ton of them, so maybe it's hard to pick one.
I got a lot, but I think the one that I hold near and dear – it's that Jacksonville game, man. That Christmas Eve game, too, 2005, I'm a big-time giver. So Christmas is like, you know, it's like, boy, I had so many people up, and I was giving presents.
Santana Claus.
You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to making the other people. I'm always the one that want to mix everybody else's day. You know what I mean? So Christmas is big. That's when I show, and I express a lot, you know, Christmas time. So I had all my cousins and friends and family up. So to have that kind of performance on Christmas Eve, bro, you just know how my house was. It was rocking. You know what I mean?
I bet.
It was a big moment. But that Jacksonville game in 06, man, to grow up in Miami, and I remember when Jacksonville became a franchise, to see the whole evolution of Jacksonville with Mark Brunell as the quarterback, Jimmy Smith, yeah, Keenan McCardell.
They were balling.
I watched them, Fred Taylor at running back. I watched them, man, and I would have never thought in a million years that I'd be beating Jacksonville the way we beat them that night with Mark Brunell throwing me the football.
Uh-huh.
Come on, man. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on. So to have moments like that come true as a kid, from being a kid, watching those guys and being on that stage with them, that's why that it meant so much, man. And you got to think about it. Miami, when I played Miami, Tampa, and Jacksonville, it was like your friends, your family, they get to see that. Yeah. Damn, this dude beating up on the teams that we grew up watching.
Right.
You know, I could walk to the Dolphin Stadium. That's how close I lived. You know what I mean? I remember when they was playing in the Super Bowl. They had the Super Bowl game at that stadium. It was Jerry Rice. And he was up against, the 49ers was up against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow.
And my dad asked me, who you got in the game? I say 49ers. I was a 49er fan. And I remember watching Jerry Rice tear them apart. You know what I'm saying? And I remember we sitting outside just because we just wanted to hear the roar from the stadium.
Yeah.
That's how close I was. You see what I'm saying?
That's so cool.
Bro, you can't tell a kid that grew up watching that and wanting to be that. Now you're that. You know what I'm saying? So I have so many memories, but that Jacksonville moment, man, it stood out because it's just, that's a hometown team, man, and you doing that. And I had so many fans, I mean, my bad, not fans, but friends that live in Jacksonville. So every time we would come and play them during the preseason, they would come and see me, you know what I mean,
yeah.
Or Tampa. They would come
right.
And come to the hotel and holler at me. So I knew they was front and center watching that game back at home.
That's so cool.
So when you finally see the cover come off and you see your name up there, will any tears come out?
Oh, my God. Don't talk about it now. I'm about to cry now. Come on now. Damn, I'm trying to go home. Trying to go home not crying again, man.
Did you
know
cry,
it is,
me?
Man.
Oh, yeah. I was trying my best to hold it.
I know it is.
And
dude.
Then like, you hold it, and then you wink, and then you can't stop it.
I'm going to have my towel, bro. Cause I'm going to cry. I don't care. Boo-hoo,
care.
Man. I'm going to boo-hoo. I'm going to let it out.
There you go, baby.
How many – I have people hitting me up. How many people have hit you up to get one of those Moss hats?
Everybody and their mama. You hear me? Hey, I just told Ryan. I say, Ryan, I know I can't call this, but it won't be a bad idea for the team to say that's what we're going to give for the fans that day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would be a great
hot
idea.
That
would be
yep.
a great
oh, yeah.
you know, thing,
oh, yeah.
something to take away, man. Like, you know, I got this on the night they put Tanner up in the rafters, you know?
There you go.
Here's what I can tell you. If they don't maybe do a giveaway or maybe make them for sale and some of it goes to charity, however you make that work, if they're not available, if you walk around the parking lot, there's going to be some dudes selling Moss 89 hats.
You know
they,
it.
They might not be official, but they'll be for sale.
Yeah. I'd rather them get the official one.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be selling. Hey, somebody else just decided, oh, I'm on somebody right now.
It'll be the dude that walks around with cigars in a bag and then just a whole rack of hats. Tana, you're the best, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
I am truly so happy for you, man.
Thank y'all, man. I appreciate it.
I said this when you were coming on. You were an elite player, and I think you're a better person, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, that book.
Let's do it.
Let's do it,
Let's
baby.
Do it. We got a lot.
I heard it.
Santana Moss, 8-9 on Instagram, getting his number, name, put up in the Ring of Fame. Well earned. Tana, thank you for joining us. Nobody go anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I take it a day at a time. It's hard when I'm, like, really self-critical of myself to kind of see how far I progress at times. Just because I think there's always something to progress on. Like yesterday or the day before, there might be things I do good, but I also think there's always things I need to improve on. And going against the guys I go against is always going to be a great help because I go against probably JK or Kinlaw every day. And that's a guy that's going, you know, he's going to get you, but you're going to get him back. Like, it's always a battle every day. And you know, I just take it day by day. So being able to kind of like hear, okay, this is where you're at, work on these things. This is where you're at. These are things you improved on. Can be very good. But, I mean, just staying very self-critical and thinking about working on things day by day.
Is that something that you're coming up with what you want to work on? Or in a meeting room or in a meeting with a coach after practice, are they saying, hey, let's tighten this up? Like, how do you know what to work on?
Obviously, coach has point is like, OG, he does a good job like helping me out. But there's like the whole offseason things that I want to work on personally. And it might not be technique things, like a lot of the focuses were on pad level and running off the ball, being stable in that position. So those are kind of my pointers. And then every day I just see little things. Like coach might say, like, oh, your feet. But I'm thinking also about, like, hand placement, marrying those things together, just kind of little tweaks, maybe my body position, my balance, my eyes. So those are kind of little things that I work on top of what he's telling me. Because, I mean, there's only so many practices you get, you know what I mean? So you have to fit as much in as you can. So every rep I take something else to focus on. And at some point, everything's just going to marry together.
Commanders lineman Brandon Coleman, you mentioned being hypercritical of yourself. How did you feel about your season last year?
I mean, it started off, it wasn't the start that I wanted, for sure. Like, with the injury coming in training camp, obviously I just had to kind of roll into the season. So that preseason is what I missed out on, which would have been, like, just great to be able to get a feel for everything. I mean, it is what it is. So sharing reps with Big Luke, you know, it makes it hard to get a feel on things. I mean, he felt the same way. Like, as a lineman, it's hard to get a feel on the game if you sub every series or you take one and take two series off, you know what I mean? So kind of once I got to week 8, week 9, when I took the job, it felt a lot more comfortable being able to be out there, kind of go through a flow of the game, see how players play, the rotations, how they play differently. It made me a lot more comfortable out there, but also took the game kind of and slowed it down. And that was what I see in camp. Like, last year was just very quick in terms of, like, oh, I got to go here, got to go here, a lot of thinking. Right. But now I kind of have the playbook down. I know the system. On top of that, I can just work on my things, you know what I mean? I don't think about a million different things. I know what to look at, and I just work on my own game.
You played at a level last year that I think nobody would have been surprised if they just went into the season and you were still the starting tackle. But they go out and draft Josh Connerly. Did they tell you they were doing that, or did you find out when the rest of us did? And did you view it as any kind of slight or did you always feel like, whether it's guard or tackle, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm going to be a long-term answer here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they had a responsibility to tell me. Like, it's a business, you know what I mean? And I told them from the get-go, like, when I got drafted, whatever y'all need me to play, I can. If I told them, if you want me a center, I might need a season. But, like, guard, tackle, it don't matter what size. So I found out just as y'all did in the draft. Obviously, I was, like, surprised. But I was also excited. Like, I said, new guy in the group, hella talented. Like, humble guy came in and very professional. I mean, they called me, like, I think that next day and told me, like, hey, we're moving you to left guard. Want to let you know. And, like, that's why I appreciate it, because I was one of the first guys they called, because that way I can model my whole offseason off of, like, what I need to work on.
Who called you?
It was DQ and AP. Same thing when they got Tunzel. You know, when we got left tackle, they called me, like, right after they got him. I was the first guy they called and said, hey, we're moving you over to right, just so I can work on my things. You know, that's why
I appreciate
it.
So you got two calls.
That's right.
We're moving you to right tackle. That's hey, right. We're actually moving you to left guard.
Yeah.
They had you on speed dial.
But, you know, that's the way the world works. And at the end of the day, it's going to make our room better. Like, both of those guys are great guys on the field, but also those guys, like, just men. And I'm just excited to be able to be on the field and share that field with them.
Lastly, just going inside the guard, how does that suit your skills in a way where you think maybe you can make a leap? I think about Cosme. You know, not that he couldn't have cut it at tackle, but he became a really good guard right
for
away.
Sure, yeah.
Like, do you see that in any way, like, in yourself?
I mean, that's what I strive to have. I strive to have a good year and, you know, be like one of the cornerstone guards for this offensive line. And like I said, I'm just working every day to become that guy for this team. But it's been good. You know, I have a lot of length I'm able to use inside. Like, arms are a lot longer than you kind of see inside. So being able to marry that, you know, with, like, quick feet and just adjusting my game to the inside is going to be, you know, exciting to see where I can get to. I'm just excited to be able to share the field with the guys again week one.
Commanders left guard Brandon Coleman. What about in your life off the field? Are you more settled now? I'd imagine you've got a place you're not still moving into like you were a year ago.
Yeah.
You got your spots you like to go to. Like, how different is life right now?
It's cool. Like you said, I got a spot last year straight out of OTAs before we kind of went on the break. And we just got a dog. You know, we got I got a wedding coming up in April. So we're preparing for that. And, you know, everything's kind of just settled. Like, I have everything kind of on the plan. I don't have a million thoughts everywhere. Now I can kind of just focus on ball, and I'm grateful and thankful to have my fiance Emily next to me, who, you know, she might think the fall camp schedule might be a little tough at times because I'm not home as much, but she understands. You know, she's been with it through me for 6 years in college.
Did you know her in high school or meet in college?
We met in college, my sophomore year, so she's been with me through it all till now, and she's just very supportive of everything that I do.
Do you have any specifics on the wedding? Like, when I got married, I told my wife, whatever you want. I got a couple things I really need. Like, yeah. Do you have anything like that where you go, hey, let's make sure we do this?
Not really. I mean, we get married in Houston. My family's obviously, like, from the Dallas area, and then the German family flying in. Her family's from Houston. So I told her the food got to be good. DJ got to be straight, and everything else is up to her. You know what
Live
I mean?
Band or DJ?
DJ, for sure, to get kind of everybody's music taste going. But, yeah, we're just excited to be able to get to that moment, and we're planning and getting things done right now.
Congrats.
Appreciate it.
Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. You can check us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live all across the country on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. But join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's head coach of your Washington Commanders, coming off a 12-5 season, two playoff wins, made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. It's Coach Dan Quinn. What's up, Coach?
What's up, everybody?
Hey, Coach, you know what? Somebody tweeted me a question that I thought was interesting, and before we like dive in anything about what's going on in training camp, the question that the fan asked was, ask Coach Quinn if he had a chance to celebrate after last season. All right, it sucks you lose your last game. That sucks. Only one team doesn't feel that way at the end of the season. But after a while, did you have a chance to kind of let it all soak in that you were able to recalibrate and take a team that had four wins and get to 12-5 and win a couple of playoff games?
Right on. It's a good question. I would say, I don't know if celebrate, but man, did I have a lot of gratitude, because when you see kind of this – group come together, and let's face it, man, anything that's like done that's, in my opinion, worth of consequence that I've been a part of, it's the people. And so like getting to do that with these guys, getting to, you know, build these relationships, players and staff and all the way through, it takes everybody. So I wouldn't know if to celebrate, but I like really have gratitude that we've adopted a standard, you know, this is how we get down. And I think that surpasses, you know, you don't have to ride a roller coaster of expectations, because there's an internal part of like, this is how we operate, behaviors, the way we practice, a team's identity of how we play. So getting a start on that, that was job number one at this time last year. We have to do that. And the only way we're going to do it is if we really connect as a team. So to see that take place, man, it was so much fun. And I don't want to lose any of it, because, like, how much fun it was. And that's why, like, this year starts again. So I don't look too far down the line, because I like being in the fight with everybody. So, yeah, again, there's a gratitude piece. I don't know if celebrate's the right word, but, like, okay, there's a lot of pieces that are coming together that we need to get done, and that's cool as hell.
Well, I kind of wanted to ask you about that, because, you know, when you were at Atlanta, you had great success, you know, pretty quickly, too. You go to the Super Bowl, I think it was your second year, right? How do you... What did you learn from that experience so that you can – look, success is not always linear, but that you can grow from that, right, and keep getting better. And you guys were so freaking good last year, kind of shocking everybody. Like, how do you manage that and yet still get better?
Yeah, EB, that's it, man. It's when you have a standard, I think that's the thing, because then you're not, you know, chasing, you know, something from the past or this amount, like – we want to get so much better, and we think that we can. And I feel like we've already gotten better, and we're just kind of getting going into training camp. But you feel standards begin to rise, and they then go to the next space, into the next space, and you bring the other people with you. And so the part I would say that I've found here is developing the leaders within. And on this team, if you were in this locker room, you would feel that, knowing that, like, there's a lot of leaders here. And it's not – sometimes from the outside, I would think it's the QB or, you know, somebody that gets a lot of the notoriety. But I would tell you, like, Jeremy Reeves and Percy Butler and some others have just, you know, Austin Ekeler have just as much of an impact the way they practice, the way they, you know, push one another. So, like, there's some really cool guys here that make kind of what's fun about us. Like, the team is the best part of our team. Like, these guys really want to battle for one another. And we had a three-day block here at training camp, and you guys know – locally here this week, it was hot, man. Like, they got after it, dude. So there was no tapping. It was like, I'm down and pushing one another. And so in a training camp, that's what I wanted to see. And so them giving it up for one another, like, in the heat, in going, like, that's cool.
Coach, how grateful are you that your coaching staff comes back intact? Because when you have success like you did last year, other teams come sniffing around. They want to poach your guys. But you've got the whole squad back.
Yeah, man, are we fortunate? I can't even think of a, you know, during, you know, 6 years in Atlanta where that might have happened. Cakes, it's rare, and a lot of it I attribute to the players, meaning that, like, they know there's things here ahead, and they want to be a part of it, and they like, you know, the connection of the staff. And so that's not an easy one. It's personal choices, because there were definitely, you know, moments and interviews, and so that's for that person to decide. But ultimately, it had a lot to do with the players here, knowing, man, like, that connection that they're building with them, that lasts forever. And so, like, they didn't want to miss on that, you know, of what's coming with this group. And so I was super thankful for that, for sure, bro.
Coach, we got to ask you, man. You know, it's good that Terry's there and he is holding in, so he's at practice. That's good. We see the interaction with the fans, and the fans are loving it. What do you anticipate? I know you don't have anything to do with the contract negotiations. I get that. But what do you anticipate? What's your gut telling you of when he'll start practicing, you think?
Yeah, right, Jason. It's when you go on to PUP, there's an element, you know, from the first part where, you know, there's some rehab that goes. And so for Terry specifically, you know, an ankle, you know, that's not that uncommon where towards the end of a season, you know, you have that and you're dealing with a little bit in the off season. I don't have a specific timetable on it. We're thankful that he's here and that the work's getting done. But he and Sam Cosmi, they do rehab and some days field work, some days, you know, rehab, strengthening work. And then the afternoon's meetings, and they're able to, you know, watch the walkthroughs in the evening, although they can't go through them yet. So we'll just take it, you know, step by step with he or any player really in this spot. Like, we're not going to miss anything, man, and take the next step. But I don't have a timeline to say it's, you know, 3 days or, you know, 5 days into that space. We're just going to make sure, like, he can absolutely, you know, fully be Terry and let it rip. And then we'll begin the process. And then it goes, like, then it's individual work and then some team reps. So it's kind of like a buildup to get yourself ready. At the start of training camp, that's what we did with the team. Like, we ramp up, shorter practice, a little bit longer. So when a player is coming off PUP, you really need to do the same with them because they missed that ramp up. So once that part happens, Jason will do the same thing, but I don't have a timeline of when that is yet. But that's where we're at.
Who, Coach, so I assume, you know, you've got so many options. You know, obviously Zach Ertz had such an unbelievable year last year. Adding Debo, so exciting. But, like, so I assume they get more balls. Let's say you have a couple, you know, inter-squad scrimmages, et cetera. God forbid you have a game or two without them. Who knows? But, like, who replaces Terry? Like, who literally runs the routes, if Terry's not there, that Terry runs?
That's a good question, EB. It's the first part of camp you put in the system. And meaning, like, we're still, we call install. So it's like, basically, hey, here's the chapters we have to know for today. Sometimes it's red zone. Sometimes it's some third down. Sometimes, uh-huh, like, might be short yardage. So once you get done the installs, then you start featuring who would be for this route, where we'd want to do this player. And you do some exploring right now. And one of Cliff's superpowers is finding the right people and putting them into the right locations. I really admire that about him, whether it's where Zach locates, where, you know, Debo's been so far. Like, that part of his game, like, he is always kind of thinking into that space. So for Terry, for Debo, we've added Jalen Lane, Noah's here, Luke. So how are we putting the running backs in? What, you know, when we got some tight ends that we're excited about, how will we feature them? Like, those are the things, like, as coaches that keep you up at night in a good way to say, all right, how am I going to get this guy better? Where would I put him? You know, so coaches think that way, and it's one of the things that Cliff is elite at. And we're kind of a few more days of these installs, really up to like the New England week. And then after that, we kind of get back to say, okay, how would we put this person here? How would we put this person there? A little bit of practice back and forth. Let's see this matchup. Let's play man-to-man. Let's put Amos against this player. All right. Let's go you know, the next matchup. Let's see this safety against Will Harris against Ertz. And a little bit of chess match to go for guys training, evaluating, can the route work? When you go year two as a staff, what I've been pleased to see, like, man, they're collaborating more. We were doing an end of the game scenario the other day, and the night before, it was, you know, the offensive coaches and the defensive coaches talking, defensive guys saying this would be harder. And so that just doesn't happen all the time, man. And so to see their collaboration together, like, that's a big deal. Like, if they were, oftentimes people just think of offense and defense separate, but like, if you really want to create something, like, you need the other point of view or things you wouldn't know or you might forget. And so, like, that's my example from this last block of practices, from a staff winning to say they got better because the defense told the offense, if you did it this way, it'd be more effective. and it's not better for them. You know, like it's a harder play at practice, but like that's what it's about, and that really fired me up.
All right, so we're talking to Dan Quinn from the Commanders. You guys know that. So I say this, like, I always say we because I'm a fan. I'm not some journalist or anything. I'm just a fan.
It should be.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I say we. And I say, I know we're going to score more. Like, we were so good last year. We added 10, like, barring injury and everything crazy. Like, we're going to score even more points. But I keep seeing from the guys that are out there, Coach, that the defense is having the better of it so far early in camp. Now, is that just standard or is that just bad reporting? Or, you know, like, what's going on there?
EB, when you say we, it's not just, you're not just for the offense.
Oh, no, right. I know. Yeah. I know. Listen, I'm high on Amos. Everyone's saying that guy's legit.
Yeah. Each week you kind of just think, man, like, what do we got to do to win this week? And sometimes it's scoring more. It's stealing an extra possession. So that's the way I look at it. But I do love the battling that's taken place back and forth. Yesterday, we featured lots of man-to-man, lots of deep throws, which aren't all high percentage, but you have to test it. So you could say, well, yeah, on a day like that, where there's a lot of throws over 20 yards, it's not 70% completion. Mm-hmm. And if it was, I'd have been like, oh boy, we really got problems right on the defensive side. So there's all these days, man, that go back and forth. We emphasize different things. So I get there's like reporting of, you know, who won the day or who did that. And like, if you were in the coaches meeting, like sometimes we're designing it to be really hard. Like I did a 2 minute the other day with like 40 seconds from the minus 15 to see if we could get there. And all these things, if you don't test them on the field, how are you really going to know? And so it's one thing to do it in the classroom or on video, but like you have to, it all has to be developed on the field. And that's what like this month is about. And even going against some of the other teams, you know, and practices to say, all right, let's find matchups. And that's why I'm excited to go, you know, spend a couple days next week with Braves and the Patriots to work through the practice and then get into the game. Because sometimes the practices even have more unique things about them than the game does.
Coach, only have a couple minutes left with you. So we did this one of the times we had you on before with a little word association. I just want you to give me your quick thoughts. First thing pops into your head, Josh Connerly.
Absolute beast.
Like it. Javon Kinlaw.
Absolute beast.
I would say, like, somebody asked me the other day, like, you know, who would you bring if there was a fight, you know? Like,
right, right.
If I'm going to go somewhere, like, Kinlaw's coming with me.
He's scary. He scares me a little bit, Coach. Even, like, on the TV screen, he scares me.
How about –
He's been so excellent. So I would say, like – for Kinlaw, I would think Allie.
Yeah.
How about Bill? We've learned that he goes by Bill Jacory.
One cut. He has this explosive nature that he can put his foot in the ground and absolutely explode. So when he puts that foot in the ground, he doesn't chop. He makes a decision and he goes. So I know this is not one word, but I'm giving you some information.
I know you like that collision between Bill and Tyler Owens. I think on day four, first day in pads, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that is, he sees you, you see him.
Yep.
That is what we call thudding. It's not from the side, but like I also like the balance and the ability to go finish runs as a running back. They're really the ones in the running game that make practice go. They don't get stopped. They finish out. So, like, that's the key. And so he's off to a good start. We got a long way to go with he and the rest of the guys. But there's a play here and there that you're like, that's it, and keep going and keep attacking. And so I love his mindset, man. Like, this dude is hungry.
Just two more for you. Marshawn Lattimore.
He's my guy.
Yeah. He is an elite competitor. And it's what I loved about him going against him. And it's what I love about him as he's here. He has really, really high standards as a competitor. And maybe it's the Ohio State thing. Him and Terry, man, they are elite competitors. Like, at the core, when they step on the lines, like they love to battle and fight for it. And like every player does, you're not in the NFL if you're not, but there are people that are also heightened into that. They're just wired in that way. And that's what I think about with Sean. Like, this player, man, does he love to compete.
Mm-hmm. Coach, we know you got to run. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on all the success last season, and let's keep it rocking, as you like to say, this season.
All right, man. You guys have a good one, and we'll see you out here again soon, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Get after it.
Yep. All right, bud.
Get after it.
I wanted to do more.
Guys,
I could have done 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But
how are we going to stay after it today, Cakes?
How am I going to get after it? Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to have lunch, take a nap, and then I'm going to get after it playing pickleball with my daughter around 1:30. That's nice. How I'm getting
that's
after
That's the prime
it.
Of the heat.
He'll be inside.
Come on. You think this delicate flower is going out in that heat today? No, thank you.
All right, that was Coach Dan Quinn.
We would have gone longer, but they were telling us he had to go.
He had to go.
That's why I threw in the word association, because at least we can hit some of those guys quick.
We respect his time.
Yeah, yeah. If you do it right, then they'll come on again.
Hey, he wouldn't like what Linnell said about Josh Connerly.
No.
He
would have disagreed.
I love Linnell, and I don't doubt that he's struggling a little bit, but some of the...
He'll be all right.
Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine.
He'll be all right. If you want to chime in, you can always hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. That's the same number for the Lido Pizza text line. You can also hit us up on X at Junks Radio. Be right back.
B. Mitchell Finley coming to you live from Commanders Training Camp, 1067 The Fan. And we've talked a lot about Jaden Daniels and Mikey Samuelsteel, two guys that have been very impressive. You heard from Jaden Daniels a little bit earlier. Let's go out to Mikey Samuelsteel right now.
Always appreciate getting to talk to Commanders cornerback Mikey Samuelsteel. Plenty of football to discuss, but I saw something the other day that I wanted to ask you about. You had your baby in the stroller walking off the field. How different does all this feel now, you know, with that family side playing football going through training camp?
It feels great. Like, I think as a young kid, when you're watching your favorite teams train to camp, like you see guys with their kids out there, like, and you have that dream of like, man, one day I want to be able to be out on the field with my kid. For some guys, it's sooner than later, like whatever that looks like. But like for it to be me in that position now is just, it's such a blessing. Being out there with my wife, being out there with my daughter.
How old is she? She looks little.
She's 13 months.
Okay.
Yep.
How different does it feel?
So last year around this time,
she was just
a baby baby. Now she's walking around like we put her down, she's running across the field and stuff. Like it's such a good feeling.
That's great.
And it just brings you back to like, man, like this is who I do it for. You know?
Right. And then you're out here in the heat and it's hot and it's tough and you guys yesterday were in pads. Like, do you ever need that little bit of pick me up?
Sometimes, you know, like you got to bring yourself back to that place. Like, hey, look. Someone's counting on you. Someone's depending on you. And you need to go out there and be that for those people. You know what I mean? And, during the off season, my wife told me, she was like, hey, babe, like, we need you to go do what you do. You know what I mean? So, like, just hearing that from her is like, sheesh, like, I got to go do this thing for them. So, like, just it's going into camp, having that mindset of, like, okay, we're going into year two. The stakes are a little bit bigger now, and just every single day you just got to be consistent in what it is that you love doing. And like for me, I know I love doing this one because it's been my dream, it's been my prayer,
right?
And now having a family, like I need to go out there and provide for them.
Speaking of the stakes getting higher, right? Have you watched the quarterback show on Netflix?
Nah.
So they followed Jared Goff all last year. And it ends in the divisional round when you guys go up there and beat them and they show your interception in the game. Like, how do you feel going into year two knowing what you guys accomplished in the playoffs last year?
I'll say, like, what we did last year, it didn't end how we wanted it to. But you don't necessarily pick up where you left off in that sense. Like, I feel like you just... Because it's a new group of guys, even though a lot of people are back, you're building chemistry with, you know, guys they brought in, rookies. So you bring them onto what the standard is, right? And then from there, it's each and every single day, how can you just add and just add and just keep digging at ways to get better? And so the routine I'm doing right now isn't what I was doing last year. In order for me to, and I got this from Bobby Wagner, he said, in order for you to even reach the level of success you had last year, you have to do more, because what you did last year is no longer enough. And then if you want to take it further than that, how much more can you actually do? So just hearing him say that, and that's a guy who's been in the league for, I think, 12, 13 years now.
Yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I'm going to stop playing with his years. I keep saying 30 years, but just like I said, like that's a Hall of Famer, you know what I mean? And hearing that from him is like, that's just not words, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's somebody who's done it time and time again. I'm not gonna take those words lightly. And so, like, I already know, like, what I did last year isn't enough. And it's just been for me, like, how can I find something different within myself that's gonna help me take this team to, you know, just help take this team somewhere further than it was last year? Because how I look at it is, it's the team before me. And if I'm not doing my part to help this team, then I'm not doing anything. So I want to make sure that each and every day I'm helping this team get better somehow, some way.
You talked about new players. So Will Harris, it looks to me like a fully healthy Marshawn Lattimore. Then you draft Trey Amos. Like, it seems like the secondary is, you know, there's lots of people to play. But, like, Lattimore, you, Amos, Harris, Kwan, how is that group coming together?
Yeah, for Marshawn, I think having somebody like Will is good for him because he played with him. So they have that chemistry. For the rest of us, like, we've been able to build and just bring Marshawn along to what we have from, you know, last year he was coming off an injury. Like, he looks great right now. And for myself, like, what he did for me last year, just being, you know, being able to tell me, like, what he saw while I was out there in the games that he wasn't playing, like, just being able to help me with my technique and stuff like that. But now this year, being able to work with him at a high level, you know, giving him releases pre-practice, during practice, like whatever it is, being able to just talk, like all of that matters in what's coming down the line. And he's one of the ones that's like, at his best, he's one of the best in this, you know, in this game we play. And I'm excited to see him just, you know, like you just mentioned, just see a healthy version of him, right mindset version of him, just go out there and just, you know, make plays and just be who he is. And then just the group, I feel, is getting tighter. You know, the bond is growing, the connection is getting stronger. And, you know, I think that's when you're out there on the football field, like, it all just comes down to how well connected you got, like, sure. how well connected you are. Because I know I look across the field and see Marshawn or see Trey, see Noah, John, like, whoever it is. I know that off the field, how tight we are is going to just make playing on the field just so much easier. See Revo behind me, Kwan, Will, Percy, like, it doesn't matter. Look to my right, Bobby, Luvu in front of me, I have that, you know, the monsters, like, it just does not matter. Like, just having that tight-knit group, that bond, like, you can go out there and do whatever. Because I know my guys got my back and I got theirs.
And beyond the defense, it's clear that you and Jaden are tight, always busting each other's chops. What do you think about Jaden in year two?
Just excited to see him just play ball. You know, he carries himself with such a high level of professionalism. And, like, you know, coming in with him, like, that motivates me to just want to be great. Just seeing my peer do it, because I know the level of greatness that he wants to reach. But, yeah, like, you know, like you just said, like, we're always going back and forth. Like, you need that. You know what I mean? You need to have that type of friendship, have that type of, you know, bond with your guys. Like I said, it just makes being at work easier. You know what I mean? And like you mentioned, having that mindset of, okay, during those tough times, I think about my family. I also think about the guys I do the hard work with each and every single day. Like DQ says, doing hard things with good people.
It's a good edit.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say the explicit version, but, you know, like, it just makes this so much easier to do when you're doing it with your brothers. And, like, it's just, hey, you know what? I know you're going to pick me up when I need you to. I know I'll pick you up when you need me to. Let's just go do this thing.
Last one. So you and Jaden, obviously close. The whole team is close. He hits that corner throw to Jalen Lane the other day. It's a pretty ridiculous throw.
Great throw.
Was it a touchdown?
No. What? Out of bounds. Well, okay. Yeah, what? College Saturdays. Jay Lane, that's a great touchdown. On Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, my brother, incomplete.
Jaden then comes over and is giving you a hard time, showing you that it was in, it was out. What was he saying, and what was your reply in that moment?
I don't know. I actually don't know what he was saying.
Because the fans were right there. It had to be pretty loud.
I think he was just trying to get them. He was pretty much like, look, it don't matter what they saw. All they saw was a catch. I come over there and just start cheering, the fans are gonna cheer, rightfully so. But me, I knew it was incomplete. So when he ran over, I'm hitting the ground, slapping the spot that showing look, his feet were out of bounds right here. We got back to meetings. The film showed he was out of bounds. And that's all that matters.
Tape don't lie.
Like I said, it was definitely a very great throw. And that's what he does.
Yeah, I mean the throw is, it was a great effort from Lane, who's going to learn to get absolutely both feet in. Absolutely. But the throw was just outrageous. Yeah. I mean, there were like three of you right there for that to get. It was crazy.
Ball placement, accuracy, just, you can't ask for anything more.
So you know, I was standing right there, and I had it incomplete on the spot. Like, I saw it the right way.
Uh-huh.
Mikey, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate you, buddy.
How impressive of a young man is Sammer still be?
He's big time.
He doesn't talk like a second-year guy. He didn't, as a rookie, talk like a rookie.
Last year, he was taking over to him. I like him.
Where do you think that defensive backfield can go?
Sky's the limit. If Marshawn has helped, you look at what he did last year, he's going to take a major step. You can already see Trey Amos with that type of ability that's beyond a rookie. Percy and Quan have been building. You know, you got Harris over there who has experience. You know, and he's talking about the togetherness they're showing, the chemistry they're building. When that goes up, their play has to go up. And there's a lot of guys over there.
Commitment and buy-in. And, like, I love seeing Jaden and Mikey bust each other's chops all the time. Like, I love seeing Jaden and Bobby bust each other's chops all the time. You know what I mean? Like, not to compare, but even the five of us dumbasses, right? You have Brian, who is a former player, a mentor, like a public speaker. Brian is like this elite person. Then you got the rest of us, and we all treat each other equally and bust each other's balls. And it's the only
consistently.
It's the only way to like function. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it shows you care about one another. It's just, to me, I want to say it's how dudes interact in a healthy manner.
Yep.
Maybe that's just how people interact in a healthy manner.
How people should act.
But this team has it the right way. And I think you see it day after day. Like, when Jaden was like, damn, it's only been a week at camp? Sheesh. That's because...
And he probably was speaking for everybody on the team.
Totally, dude. And as much as it's an off day for the media tomorrow, it's not an off day for them.
Nah.
They're here. It's just they close the walkthroughs to us.
Like, a lot of the guys, even when they aren't here.
They're coming
they're
in.
They're not off.
Dude, they come in for workouts. They come in to watch tape. Like, in season, Tuesday's the off day. You ever been out here on a Tuesday? Parking lot's still pretty damn full.
Mm-hmm.
And it just says a lot about kind of what they're putting together.
It becomes more of a routine. And the more you do the routine of football, the better you get at football.
I mean, it's what you always say about you got to play football to play football.
100%.
We're going to see more of it next week. I can't wait. I thought today was their best practice. I also think the coaches gave them the most leash to have their best practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, some days it's like, all right, we're just going to do a little, just going to let everybody get a taste of it, and then we're done.
But you always talk about the build-up stage.
Yeah, man.
And this is 7 days. They've been building up for this. And now they finally go out, then they give you this day. And then, you know what? They're now building up for the first preseason game, which means they'll get to a point, and then they get to it and they pull back that next day before the game and they go play the game. And now we're building for the second preseason game because I expect a little more out of you.
Sure.
You know, and then once the preseason is over, it's kind of strange because you get 2 weeks before the next game. So you in a sense, you try to chill, but you still keep building. And then you keep that thing going once the regular season starts for September 7th.
It's a slow burn, and then it's just the house is on fire, man.